Good morning, UCCS. This is Heat Check Radio coming at you with the best sports talk in the nation.
The nation.
The entire nation.
Yeah. I know we're with James and Jacob this morning. How you guys doing?
Incredibly tired.
Incredibly tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still keeping it real, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You got plenty of heat checks for us, right?
Oh, so many. I am on fire.
Grass.
Crikey.
Oh, God.
Getting into it, I believe you had a pretty interesting conversational idea for the beginning of the show, Jacob.
Yeah, I feel like I have a pretty good intro for our show.
Oh, hit me with it.
Something to ease us in here. So, Usain Bolt has started training with Borussia Dortmund in Germany.
I did see that. He scored a goal with them, too, didn't he?
Well, like, not... He hasn't played in the game.
He
did, like, score in training, And...
It's a good start.
Yeah, and they had been talking about this for months now. I mean, there were rumors of this last year as soon as he was done in the Olympics. And he looked good. he looks pretty good. But my interesting conversational starter would be, what are other athletes that could play other professional sports? I.e., I'm going to take this one from you guys, LeBron James playing any other sport.
Yeah.
Probably minus baseball.
Yeah, not very creative.
Yeah, that's not... We know that that's... We know he can do that. That's never in the question. He's a freak of nature, so...
I think a possibility, and this one is also like kind of more obvious than others, but like Odell Beckham, he possibly could play. I mean, I don't know about, I know we saw some video a while ago, like a year or so ago, of him like playing basketball, but
play
also
cocaine? Play doing cocaine.
Yes, he's in the national.
We did see
the NCL, the National Cocaine League.
We did see that video, so.
But no, it was him like playing basketball and dunking and stuff, but like that wasn't really that, my point is that he could possibly play like soccer or something. I know there was he did like some, there was a video that was going around for a while of him playing with some trick shot team.
Yeah.
So.
And he's Nike sponsored, I believe, and so is Ronaldo, and they did a whole video about it. It was pretty cool. They showed Ronaldo's car. It's a pretty cool car. Ronaldo lives a pretty cool life, man. Thought I'd point out. And speaking, you know, while we're at it, Ronaldo could probably play many other sports.
What one specifically do you have?
Well, I mean, any other sport. Minus baseball, probably.
Okay. Basketball?
He's 6'5", leaps out of the gym. Athletic. He's a big man. He's built.
Obviously, when we say, like, so he could play basketball, we assume that he would be taking a lot of training. It's not like he would, if, like, he had started playing basketball at a younger age instead of playing soccer, there's a possibility he could have.
I could see it maybe in Europe.
Well, that makes sense. He is located in Europe.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear an athlete I think could make the jump?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I would love to see a Kristaps Porzingis. A healthy Kristaps Porzingis, of course. Not in current forms. I would like to see him playing professional volleyball. Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball?
The 7'3".
You just want to see him with his
shirt up. Oh, you got me. No, the 7'3" freak athlete of Porzingis. Playing up the line on a volleyball net, I think he would be devastating.
He'd be pretty good.
Put him with a smaller setter with some good control, and man, what a tandem. I could see a Latvia team taking gold in the next Olympics.
You'd say we could have somebody like Ricky Rubio.
Exactly.
Set him up. We're big fans of Ricky Rubio.
Love our Ricky Rubio. But I like your thinking there, Rubio. Kristaps tandem on the net. Who wouldn't want to go watch that volleyball game, right?
You could have Ricky Rubio be the libero.
Exactly.
There's a volleyball term for you.
You know, people have wanted a more competitive NBA All-Star game. What if
he added
we just volleyball. Had, they just took the game out, played volleyball.
I don't know about that, but maybe we just add a volleyball game to All-Star Weekend.
That decides home court advantage for the finals.
No.
Oh, raise the stakes.
Well, I mean, can you imagine LeBron playing volleyball, too?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how hard he would spike it. Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
I feel like a lot of these guys could probably spike the ball pretty hard if they can get up that high.
Oh, man, I feel like I can spike the ball pretty hard if I can get up.
No, yeah. But, like, I mean, just the way that they dunk so, like, viciously a lot of times that, like, you got to assume they could just pelt that ball on the ground.
You know, while we're at it, I might as well just say that Giannis could probably
play
as well.
You can plug a lot of these NBA players in. They're so naturally athletic. They, on the volleyball court, I think they'd fit seamlessly. There was a NBA player played for the Rockets a couple years ago named Chase Budinger. He actually is playing professional volleyball now. He played on University of Arizona's team, too, I believe. That's just kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a while, he was actually doing both sports. I know Bill Walton, an old-timer. If you, for those viewers who don't know who he was a really good big man back in the day, and he's does some announcing now for the Pac-12, but he was a huge volleyball player, too. So on the real, it would be fun to see volleyball get a little more prominence in American sports culture again, because, man, very few things are funner to watch than beach volleyball. You know what I mean?
I enjoy playing volleyball as much as I do watching volleyball.
I think there's a definite market for it that's not being tapped right now, and it would be fun to see some forward steps taken in that industry.
Definitely.
Yeah.
My
volleyball skills have been questioned.
Well, they should be.
People don't like. I like to punch the ball. That's usually my strategy.
You gotta keep an open hand when you're coming down on it, man.
It's not even like a normal punch. He like puts his fists together.
Oh no!
And then attacks it viciously, and then it works like 1 out of 20 times. But when he hits that one,
oh, it's incredible.
It's pretty good. But the other 19 times, everybody else is just like, James, go get the ball. Like it's all the way in the next zip code. So.
You know, volleyball is a sport of finesse.
Absolutely. I agree.
I think
he's not trying to finesse it.
No. I think in every sport, you could work on your finesse a little bit.
I agree.
You know, I feel like in life, everybody could use
some finesse.
Work on their finesse.
Oh, easily. But that's a topic for another day.
That's a different topic, but I'm going to go back. I got another athlete. I think most hockey players could probably play baseball. Just with hand-eye coordination. Sidney Crosby at his finest. He scored another goal like 2 days ago where he was skating across the crease, shot it off the goalie, went up, and then he batted it once out of midair, like across the crease, and then batted it in a second time in midair.
I saw that play.
The puck did not drop.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That's incredible.
On the topic of Crosby, I keep hearing people say this will be the year he falls off. You know what I mean? I did hear some rumblings about that. There, people keep saying, man, the Penguins are up to a slow start.
I mean, they are. They did get off to a slow start. And then
when
they brought it back. So they're in third in the Metropolitan now.
So then when do you see that drop-off actually coming for Crosby? Do you think it's a long ways off? Or
for Crosby, probably maybe a couple more years. I would imagine.
So, in maybe a similar stage to where LeBron is at right now?
Yeah. I mean, he aged like a fine wine. And certainly with hockey, you take longer to age, or you have much longer to age, because you play longer.
Definitely.
So it's super interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now. He has 79 points this year, which is probably top 20 in the league, even though the Penguins have had a pretty rough year.
By their standards.
By Penguin standards. And they're really realistically, they're coming back to form.
Yeah, what an impatient fan base, though.
Oh, man. I hate to say it, James, but the Pittsburgh fan base. I hear you may be a Pittsburgh fan.
Are we talking about the Steelers?
No, we're not.
Maybe all Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the culture, actually, there in Pittsburgh, frankly. I know that absolutely, if you're talking about like a lot of the fans that I see, they are absolutely impatient to some extent because, like, you know, when you saw like Ben Roethlisberger struggling this year, like after the Jacksonville game when he threw 5 picks, it was like, he's done. Get him out. Put in Landry Jones. He's our future. Put in Josh Dobbs. I was like, relax. He's still a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's still, I don't want to say he's incredible. but he's still a top quarterback in the league. He's having a bad year a little bit. Just relax.
I mean, it's just a fan base. It's had so much success with the sports in their city, right? Because the Penguins are just always producing at a high level, and the Steelers as well. You know, even a down Steelers year is like a 9-7, and they still are in the fight for a wild card spot. So,
yeah,
maybe when you win that much, you forget how to lose.
Pirates have been good for the last 5 years.
Pirates have been good. They have, is McCutcheon still playing on the Pirates?
No, McCutcheon got traded.
Okay. Was that recent?
That was this year.
Okay.
This offseason.
I loved watching McCutcheon play, man.
I went to a Rockies game where he homered 3 times. That was pretty cool. We got kicked out of our seats because we tried to slither our way down.
Oh, no.
Tried to finesse our way down, if you will.
Every baseball game I have gone to, it has been the absolute slowest and most boring games, like, ever. Because, I mean, absolutely nothing interesting ever happens in these games. It's like for the first 6 or 7 innings, and frankly, I don't watch a lot of baseball, so I assume the possibility that this is to some extent normal for games, but it's like first 6 or 7 innings, just pretty much nothing happens. Maybe 1 run scored. And then someone scored maybe 2 or 3, and then the game's over. It's really, I haven't had the luck of going to really good baseball games.
You really have summarized and are a microcosm for what most of what people don't like about baseball.
Yeah, the casual fan is not in it for the game.
Yeah,
but
you've really hit the head there on that. And what's interesting is somebody who played 10 years of baseball and is a huge fan of baseball and would die for it.
Yeah. Yikes.
Hey, Jack.
And there's more happening when there isn't a pitch than when there is. And what people who haven't played it, it's tough for them to understand what's happening. So it's hard for people to really get into the game when it feels like there's nothing happening, and people just don't like what they don't understand. Heat check.
I mean, that gets deep, saying people don't like what they don't understand, and that's something we could get into across multiple sports and really, really talk about some important stuff. But backstepping a little bit, the culture of baseball, you know, I feel like people don't go to a baseball game to really watch the baseball, at least
social aspect.
The vast majority of people.
There's lots of different, there's different, like, entities that go to a baseball game.
That's true.
You can have an 80-year-old who's keeping the scorebook at the game, which is excellent, which is where I hope to be.
An 8-year-old?
In many years. I would hope that I'd have, like, season tickets and just go and keep the scorebook for no real good reason. Just because.
Fair enough. And, you know, there are fans like you, but I would say there's a lot of people that just want the experience, you know, get the family out, get their date out, go spend a Sunday afternoon watching some ball. And that's fine, you know. Yeah. I know I've been to Coors 3 or 4 times now, and those casual Sundays where you can just go catch a game are some of the funnest times I've had in Denver.
Fun.
Yeah. No.
And the Rockies are fun.
Yeah.
I mean, even they've been bad, but the Rockies have always been fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Coors Stadium, they do a great job, even with some questionable ownership at times, with engaging the fans, right?
Very questionable ownership, but they always, ticket sales are always top 10 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think partly due, one, we have a good sports fan base here.
We do.
And then, but Coors Field is like always also top 5 stadiums in the MLB every year as well. Beautiful park.
I love, have you ever been to Petco Park?
I've never been to Petco.
I've made that trip once. Really nice park as well.
I've been to both LA stadiums.
Okay.
As well as Target Field in Minnesota.
I haven't made it down to San Diego.
I didn't. We thought about it when we were there this summer. We were like, you know what? Let's just go to a Padres game. I believe we went and got McDonald's instead.
The length of what would have been the baseball game did you for a couple hours?
Well, it was probably the same price. I think tickets were like $10 for the Padres game.
I mean, with the duration we eat, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Might as well be a baseball game.
I didn't mean to flame you there. Just
No.
That's the epitome of what baseball culture has come to.
So
people
just
don't really understand.
I absolutely don't. I'm sure there's like things going on that I don't really notice. I mean, it may have been boring, but I do also still enjoy going to baseball games just because I enjoy going to sporting events in general.
I think you hate sports.
Yeah, that's why I'm on this show. I'm here to take them down. I don't want any more sports.
I go into the belly of the beast.
This is the best way to do it.
Next stop
from
the
inside.
a true double agent.
Yeah. You're a spy.
But I remember I went to a Dodgers game.
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I love
it. I hear good things.
Oh,
I hear Magic Johnson owns that team, right?
Yeah. That is... And not only were they amazing last year, they made it to the World Series, but they were like super interesting to watch. They had a whole, and then when I went, Bellinger hit a bomb in the eighth to take the lead, and the place just erupted, and it was so cool to just be a part of it.
Yeah, I went to a game like that was like the year before they really started having like the success that they've had recently, and it was. I had really good seats. It was pretty close to the field, but it
always
was like,
good.
Yeah, but it was like 100 degrees in the middle of the day, and we were literally drenched in sweat. Drenched in sweat by the end of the game. Like they started walking around like handing people's towels and stuff, like wet towels to like cool them down and stuff. But it still was in no way enough to like deal with how hot it was there, which is like kind of a California or Southern California sports thing. And I'm sure a lot of other places too. Where
other places do get hot.
Yeah.
It's important to me
Miami,
to know that.
Miami sports deal with that too. In addition to humidity.
Anywhere in the South?
Yeah.
Would have the same issue. Probably not.
Arizona.
Probably not the same humidity, but they have humidity.
Yeah.
Here is not the same thing. We have nice dry heat. That's part of the reason why people come to Coors Field. It's never like, incredibly, you never want to die from heat.
Yeah,
it's always nice dry heat and the sun's out and sun goes behind the third baseline.
And who doesn't want to see Nolan Arenado?
I would love to see Nolan Arenado every day if I could. Can we talk about the Rockies for a second?
Go for it.
The Rockies are going to be amazing this year.
Thank goodness, right?
And you saw glimpses of that last year. With the hottest start we've had we had the best first half I think we've ever had.
We were, by almost all metrics, an elite offensive team, weren't we?
I would say we were probably one of the best offensive teams last year.
And the nice thing was our pitching wasn't the weak point it's been for a lot of years in Rockies baseball.
Our bullpen was the issue. The thing was our starting pitching wasn't, which has traditionally been where the Rockies have struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're excited for the future is because we had really good pitching last year, but it was also really good young pitching last year. And we're looking... John Gray is our ace, and he's maybe 5 years into his MLB career. That's not that much.
No.
And Kyle Freeland threw almost a no-hitter and as a rookie.
Almost.
It was an incredible performance.
It's so difficult for them to get past the jinx because everybody starts talking about it. You get a notification from ESPN, the announcers are like, he's close to a no-hitter. He's going to do it. And then he doesn't because they jinxed him.
Well, he got to one out in the ninth inning, but maybe two outs in the ninth inning.
Had a no-hitter in Coors?
Ubaldo.
Yeah, I remember Ubaldo. There hasn't been one since, though, has there?
No, there's no. The only other one at Coors was the Korean guy for the Dodgers. Oh, I don't remember his name. And he did it against a lineup that was like... No, but that was like the Blake Street Bombers in like 96. That was like Larry Walker, Dante Bichette, Andres Galarraga. And he threw he torched him. Like, absolutely torched him. Actually, it was Ubaldo's might have been away.
Was that 2011?
Earlier than that, 2010. Oh, the Rockies have an entire page for it. About that. No, it was in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the topic of Ubaldo, is he playing in the league still?
I believe we had a conversation about him recently. I don't know. Because he got traded to Baltimore. And then I don't even know what happened to him after that. He went 6-11 last year.
Yeah.
With a 6.81 ERA, which is bad. Very bad. That's terrible. I don't know. He really fell off after that year, though. I think he's a free agent. Yep, it says he's a free agent.
Well, here. I come a full circle. Oh, the Rockies would come a full circle?
Oh, yes. I was like, will you come full circle?
How? I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I just think that if you're a Rockies fan, you're really excited because we have another lineup that looks like we're going to absolutely torch any pitching.
And the energy in the organization is just good again. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's fun to watch the Rockies again.
Yeah, there's definitely some. And there's a great sense of professionalism with how the team's being run that wasn't there for a long period in between that World Series team and where we are now. So it's
the Monforts have just been so hesitant to spend money.
I would
on the Rockies because they've never had to. Like people always come to the games no matter what. But I mean, now that we're selling out like 10 games in a row, they seem to like that. So they spend money and we have like a super bullpen now and our starting pitching is going to be sweet and our lineup is could play in the AL. So
the Rockies are taking a step into the future.
Hot take here. Rockies make it. Rockies win the NL West this year.
I could see it.
They beat the Dodgers out.
I think that's enough hot takes for right now. We're going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back with some NHL news and March Madness news. So get ready for that. All right, everybody, welcome back to Heat Check Radio. We're going to just jump right into some NHL news. Jacob, you're going to take the lead on this one, I believe. You want to tell us about the NHL? They got the playoffs coming up, right?
Well, yeah.
Playoffs?
Well, I just put it on our itinerary because hockey's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Especially in Vegas.
Yeah. Nowadays it is. The playoff push is heating up here. The Avalanche are immaculate again. Actually, they're actually a super interesting story. This would be like a story that they would do like a 30 for 30 on if they like win the title. We had a franchise low. I keep saying 49 points, but 45 points also rings bell. One of the two, which is terrible. Yeah. It was like the lowest amount of points that a team has had since the Thrashers. Thrashers are not a team anymore, so you can see how that worked out.
What city was the Thrashers from?
Atlanta.
Oh.
Yeah,
maybe not a great hockey city.
Yeah, definitely not, actually. But it's the Avs are super interesting because we traded Duchesne at the very beginning of the year, and it's almost like sparked a fire in Nathan MacKinnon, who's going to win the Hart this year, by the way. It's almost uncontested at this point. They traded Duchesne, and you thought, well, this might be time for a rebuild in the Avs organization, as if we had something to tear down. But it's like as soon as Duchesne was traded, MacKinnon was like woke up the next day, and he was just like, all right, I'm going to be the best player in the NHL. Cool. Is that cool with you guys? Okay, that's cool.
No, knock it off.
And now he's putting up ungodly numbers. I want to say like 89 points. I don't know what happened last night. They did lose 7-1.
Against who?
LA.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm gonna hype him up here.
Kings. still in playoff positioning though,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. We're definitely in the first wild card. And I think the Ducks are in the second right now. I don't know if they lost or not. last night, but we're competing pretty much with the Stars right now for whichever wildcard position we're going to get. I mean, we're going to play somebody like Vegas in the playoffs, which would be amazing because, one, we'd play the first expansion team ever in the playoffs, and...
So we'd have the Avs and maybe the Golden Knights?
They would be our first round.
What a fun playoff matchup.
That'd be a pretty interesting playoff matchup. Two teams that you totally would not expect to be in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And an understated idea in professional sports is the travel, too, and you really wouldn't have any travel... It wouldn't be difficult travel between Vegas and Denver. So you probably get both teams functioning it.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And the hockey playoffs are they're the best playoffs in sports. And have two younger teams, go at it like that. It would be amazing to watch. Two teams that play similar styles as well. And, I mean, you're looking, so Anaheim's still in the playoffs. The Blues have moved up in front of the Stars. And we are, we're 3 points ahead of the Blues and 2 points ahead of, that is three, right? Oh, no, we're tied in points with Anaheim, but we have a better row, which is regulation and overtime wins. anyway, so, and it's fascinating because I get back to Nathan MacKinnon here. He's playing at a level that, one, he's not only bringing himself to a Hart Trophy season, but he's bringing up his line mates, Mikko Rantanen, who's 19 or 20 this year. He has like 60-something points already this year. Mm. And Gabe Landeskog, who has traditionally always been a second-line center, but our captain, who's playing the first line this year. And he's having the best year of his life as well. Or his life, his career. And
that's up for him to decide.
I don't know, he's having a good year in his life. I don't know what he's doing. Sweden's cool. and you're looking at this Colorado Avalanche team, and it's hard to find a weak spot. Obviously, like, towards the back pairings of their D-line, which would be a weakness, but that's everybody's weakness. And you're super excited to watch the Avalanche every night. They're fast, they're young, they score tons. I think they're top 10 in scoring in the league.
How was our goalie play?
Varlamov? If he doesn't have a groin injury, which feels like every year he has a groin injury. But no, we have Varlamov as our number one, and he's played super well. He's back to like his 2013-14 form, which is when we played the Wild in the playoffs.
That's wild.
And... then we have Jonathan Bernier, who's backing Varlamov up, who had a stretch of playing like 10 games in a row, and he had like 3 or 4 shutouts in a row. So you're looking at our goaltending, and you're like, well, we've got two solid goaltenders.
Got some depth.
We have depth at forward. I don't know what depth on the blue line is different, but...
Out of curiosity, do you see altitude having the same impact in hockey as I see in basketball? Like, the teams get physically more tired out when they're playing at the Pepsi Center?
Absolutely. And, it's an interesting question because when I worked for CSU last year, we'd play teams like Arkansas and any Oklahoma, both Oklahoma teams, and you'd play them at their home rink, which were some absolute barns, by the way. The University of Central Oklahoma hockey rink was maybe one of the coldest places on earth. but they were pretty good. And you'd play them there, and they would... murder us. Like, well, not murder, but like they would beat us like pretty easily. And then they'd come to Fort Collins, and by the middle of the second period, they were changing shifts like every 15 seconds because they couldn't stay on the ice. Like, the elevation has such a drastic change on hockey players, and it's tough for hockey players more because it's less of a long distance run in hockey. It's more like a 45 second sprint, and then you're on the bench. So it's just many sprints in a row when you get a shift. And you see that, and that definitely helps coming to when you play in Denver. Because then you get people who, like the Stars, who play at sea level, and they're gasping by the second period. So
you got to use the home court to your advantage in Denver.
Hey, we have a significant advantage, and we have a significant advantage pretty much when we go anywhere else because we're conditioned. So, yeah, super interesting. Vegas is cool. I was looking, so Skylar and I are huge into advanced stats, and hockey's really taken a pole position on advanced stats.
NASCAR, I like it.
And stop talking about NASCAR. And actually, I would like to make it clear. I brought up the question that we brought up at the beginning of the show for which athlete could cross over a sport. When I brought the question up to him in our dorm room last night, James goes, "Jeff Gordon."
Is it very physically fit? Okay.
Maybe he rides horses.
There you go.
Hey, you could play volleyball.
Hey, you know what? I actually know what I said. James was like, "Jeff Gordon." I go, "Curling?
Bowling? Disc golf?
Disc golf?
Look, yeah. Okay.
Hey, disc golf is a separate sport. I've played semi-professionally. It's pretty cool.
NASCAR does take a quite a bit of coordination. So to some extent,
but there's no way Jeff Gordon is going to go out and play any other sport.
If he decided at a young age that instead of pursuing NASCAR, he pursued another sport, I think in terms of physical shape, he had a possibility.
Dude, Jeff Gordon's like 5'6".
What? Yeah, well, it's not 5'6", but he's pretty short, yeah.
There's not many sports. Hockey's volleyball, the only sport that I can think of that you're going to play if you're short. You can play volleyball if you're short. You can play backline. I just don't think Jeff Gordon is.
I can't put that out there.
He looks like the U.S. curling team that won the world.
That actually, that's true.
He looks spot on like somebody who would play on that team.
That's it. That's
like a 40-year-old dad who just like wanted to get away from his kids on the weekend.
Let's transition to some college basketball. Before we get into actual March Madness news, I believe the CSU Rams hired a new head coach.
Go Rams, am I right? Yes, we hired the head coach out of Drake Nico Medved, which is funny because Medved is an auto dealership in Fort Collins. Everybody said, go to Medved. So,
we are not sponsored.
We would like a shameless plug for a dealership 2 hours from here. So, but no, they did hire a coach. He took Furman from 8 wins to 23 wins in his 4 seasons there, and then he's inheriting. Well, I mean, we got into it last week. He's inheriting an absolute dumpster fire.
A disaster.
Of a basketball program. And it kind of throws out our whole Becky Hammon thing, which is disappointing.
Yeah, it is. It is cool that news happens so soon after our talk about Becky Hammon, and I would love to know how much consideration she actually got. But
I bet they just contacted her, and she was like, nah.
Yeah. But Medved, you know, he did something in Drake where he took a team similar to CSU that doesn't get top-flight recruits, and he made them competitive. Hopefully the same can happen in Fort Collins.
I mean, yeah, if we could just get back to how we were 5-6 years ago. We made it to the tournament 2 out of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We lost in the first round each time, but...
You made it.
We played Marquette one year. I remember that. Huh. That was pretty rough. We never got in because we won the tournament, the Mountain West tournament. We always got in just because...
I've noticed CSU's always really excelled when they embrace playing ugly basketball. Definitely. You know what I mean? It's not aesthetically pleasing, and they're not really hitting more threes. But when they usually play two big guys, and they're crashing the offensive glass, and they're making the other teams.
By no means are you going there for a Warriors-type basketball experience.
CSU is never pretty, and I would say CU, you know, they play up and down. They play with tempo and lots of threes, and CSU is not like that.
CSU is definitely a half-court offense. Slow you down, beat you up inside.
Try and grind it.
Yeah,
try
definitely.
And work a little harder.
We are so not fun to watch.
But hopefully, you know, you can get back to that really grinded-out style and produce some more wins on the court.
It'd be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. Yeah. It's a good athletic department. It's a growing school. Tons of funding to
Mountain,
the athletic programs.
The Mountain
West.
West. That conference is really strong this year.
Nevada.
Look at
minus the Loyola loss they just had. But
What a fun Nevada. Team Nevada was.
Nevada, San Diego State, CSU. Well, I'm blanking on all the teams. Boise State, Wyoming.
It's fascinating. I know UCCS is in the RMAT conference right now, and having seen CSU play, I consider this a heat check, but I think they would have been beat by quite a few of the RMAT conference teams this year. That
probably the higher tier ones. Regis would have given them a good.
Me and Jacob can attest to this. We've seen a lot of RMAC basketball, and Regis would have been good. Metro, I think, would have made their lives difficult.
Cienko would have absolutely murdered anybody they had in the post.
Even if you look at our UCCS, we were a bigger team than CSU was this year. Like I could see players like Jonathan Barnes really making CSU players' lives hard.
I mean, and he played at Wyoming, so
yeah,
that goes hand in hand with CSU.
Just some fun food for thought, right? It would have been interesting to see where CSU would have been in a Division II conference this year.
And it almost like it raises the question of like, would North Dakota State football have played well in D1 when Carson Wentz was there and Scott Frost?
I love the idea of lots of Division II high level programs and players being able to compete at a higher level when they just don't get the opportunity.
Like, just schedule one game.
And you do see it in the preseason sometimes to varying results.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama always plays like Chattanooga State for, they might be D1, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they, you know, that's the kind of tier we're looking at.
Yeah. There's definitely lower division programs that can still put an elite product on the floor, though.
Like the 2017 national champions? UCF? Am I right?
Yeah.
You are right.
No, they were definitely not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Bortles was there, and Brashad Perriman, I would throw a reference there.
Oh,
is he the one who made that incredible catch at UCCF? He like, no, I was a white guy. Never mind.
Okay.
He like dove all out in like one hand.
Oh yeah.
End zone. That was.
I remember that. That was incredible.
Man, if Bortles could have just thrown that ball a little better, that was totally not necessary.
Yeah. He was definitely wide open.
Yeah, there was nobody around him. He just overthrew him. Anyway.
Back to college basketball.
We didn't need to get into that, but Elite Eight stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Loyola, Illinois, taking the dub again.
I can't. They did in Loyola Chicago fashion for this like tournament where they won it in like the final seconds. They like they shot a three with 16 seconds left and took the lead.
Now I hate to say it, but my heat check last week was that Loyola would make the Sweet 16.
I do remember
which
that.
Is closer to the Elite Eight than. That they're a fascinating team. They're a telltale Cinderella story. They got that old woman that everybody likes a lot.
Yes.
Even though we busted her bracket as if her bracket was going to be fine, even if Loyola didn't win. Like, I'm pretty sure nobody has a perfect bracket. Like, and I'm pretty sure nobody has any idea what's happening in the tournament anymore.
How could you predict what?
Oh,
what has gone on with the 116 on top of Loyola, on top of Buffalo, putting a whooping, and that's going a while back, but there's so many bizarre things happening in this tournament.
How Virginia, like, didn't even show up. It's like they weren't even on the court for that game against UMBC.
That was sad. I wish the UMBC would have performed a little bit better afterwards, but
hey,
that was still incredible to see.
Who do we have out of that bracket? Is it Loyola out of that bracket, right? Out of that region?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the South, right? It's the top left.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of Loyola, there were three other games last night. Michigan just dominated. The one with like 20 points or whatever. FSU ended up winning by a solid lead against, Kentucky.
FSU over Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, sorry, excuse me. Yeah. And then K-State beat Kentucky. Those were two upsets three upsets last night, sorry. And that's just kind of, that's what.
Par for the course.
Yeah, I mean.
Par radio?
You sent.
Dead meme.
You sent, I think it was you, sent a message, a tweet to our group chat on Twitter about like mid-major teams or whatever winning in the tournament and how like someone was saying they were bad for March Madness. I didn't really read the full article, but I mean, it was kind of just saying that, like, well, it's not the same competition level. And to some extent, it's still like, I feel like, in terms of entertainment level, very high. Like seeing Loyola.
It's fun seeing different teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if people are going to be upset about mid-majors winning, tell the big programs to be better at basketball.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's literally.
That's the whole point
as
of this
if it's
tournament.
It's the mid-major's fault for them being good at basketball.
It's called March Madness for a reason. It's not supposed to be like the best team just goes directly to the finals.
That's what feels in the NBA. It's just like just a formality to play the regular season.
Yeah. But like, don't criticize teams for playing good team basketball and having a solid game plan. Yeah, criticize Arizona for Sean Miller being reliant on DeAndre Ayton to do everything, and then, you know, just have your elite teams play better.
Dude, have some fun. We finally have some different teams, like Kansas State, Loyola, like, and even Michigan isn't like, I mean, they're perennial. They're always there, but like,
they're playing well.
And I'm not even despise the University of Michigan, but it's cool having different teams in there. We haven't had them since like Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway.
Still got Kansas and Villanova in there, which, I mean, it's fine. I mean, I don't think anyone's against that by any means.
Be cool to see Kansas versus Kansas State. That could only be a final, right?
I mean, I would love to see like even someone like Loyola, FSU, K-State, one of those. In the championship game. That'd be cool to see.
On the topic of FSU, can we talk about how silly it is that they were able to beat Gonzaga pretty handily last night? Because Gonzaga, and they only run an 8-man rotation, but man, they have some elite level offensive creators and defenders. You know, they really, that was a 2-way team this year. I loved Gonzaga. I thought they were seeded too low. And FSU, they just out-rebounded them. They were lankier. What a confusing game, but
yeah,
my roommate picked FSU to win the championship.
Jesus.
I called him silly. I was like, Brock, what are you doing? Shout out to you, Brock. But but he's not looking so silly anymore, right?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
I mean, Syracuse still has to play. I don't know if they beat Duke tonight, but
I hope so.
I would like.
I had Duke losing this round as well to Michigan State, albeit, but. Whatever. I think Kansas is playing Clemson tonight. I don't know if that's tonight or not. But
no, yeah, they're all tonight.
That Kansas team is a powerhouse in the interior.
Yeah.
I think they have Azubuki. Just a physical beast down low.
I mean, Villanova plays West Virginia, and Texas Tech plays Purdue. That East bracket's, like, that's how you would want it to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how most people would anticipate that.
I would love to see Purdue make it out of that.
Purdue would be cool. Another interesting team to make it into it. And then in Elite Eight, K-State plays Loyola at some point. And then Michigan will play FSU. So we had the left side of the bracket last night and the right side of the bracket tonight. I don't know if that Duke and Syracuse matchup is interesting. Heard a lot of good things about that Syracuse team. And then I woke up this morning and saw that, hey, Duke's going to murder Syracuse. So, and I don't think Duke's that good this year. So, but they do have Grayson Allen and Marvin Bagley. You can say how much you want about Grayson Allen as a player, but he performs, man.
On the topic of Bagley, too, I know he gets some flack for being like a tweener. That's what people keep calling him. Like, oh, he's a tweener. Where does he actually play in the NBA? I don't care. He's 6'11". He's 225 pounds. He reminds me of, like, Amore Stoudemire. You know what I mean? And, like, he's 19 years old, so it's not like he's not going to get stronger and put on weight.
Yeah.
I would easily take Bagley over Fultz or Lonzo Ball in last year's draft. I was looking at the NBA mock draft the other day. The top six in this NBA mock draft, I would probably have taken one last year. Without hesitation.
I mean,
really?
DeAndre Ayton.
Mo Bamba.
Sure.
Terrific potential.
Doncic is incredible to watch.
You got Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State. He doesn't get a ton of attention, but he's like another Draymond Green. And I'm not just saying that because they both went to Michigan State. But
they kick people in the balls.
He's like a 6'11", super versatile big man, can shoot the three, can play 3, 4, 5, you know.
Almost like a Denzel Valentine.
almost like he's like think of a high powered Valentine. Yeah. You know what I mean? This Jaren Jackson kid, he flies under the radar, but he's the youngest player in the draft while also being the most versatile. And they have him going 5 right now. I would have taken him 1 last year. So
before Lonzo or Fultz.
Before Lonzo or Fultz, I'm just like there is so many good players in this draft.
I mean, even to some extent, Lonzo and Markelle Fultz shouldn't have even been taken that high.
Well, I disagree.
Whole another debate, but.
And, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but at the time, Markelle Fultz, he had a lot to like about him. He had every aspect of a prime Brandon Roy. And, you know, Lonzo, I can't blame the Lakers for taking him at 2. That's what I had him pegged at the whole time. So, in terms of talent, I like the 1 and 2, but... Man, this draft class is just in another stratosphere. It kind of reminds me of 2003, and people are almost starting to sleep on these players. But watch, Bagley's going to perform. Doncic is going to be, I believe, a star from day one. Be exciting stuff.
Doncic is so interesting. So interesting. He's so different.
There has not been a better number one pick, maybe, since LeBron. I really believe that with Doncic.
Really?
Yeah, I believe.
If you wanted hot takes, you have got it today.
I don't. I think Doncic, we're going to look, even if he doesn't go 1, I don't care where he goes, we're going to be like, wow, how did we not take him at 1? Because he's Larry Bird, and...
He's, like, closer to LeBron than I think most people.
Yeah.
He's got every, like, single aspect of his game that's super, like, developed and...
Yeah, he's literally has aspects of Larry and Magic Johnson in this game. And I know that sounds weird, but...
My bad.
that might have to be my hot take for the day. Doncic is going to be the best...
Whoa, we are not in the hot take section yet.
Oh.
But continue.
My boy Luka Doncic is going to be the best first-round draft pick since LeBron James.
You heard it here first.
And with that, we go to a break. And after that, we'll be coming back with some NFL news. Not a whole lot happened this week, but there is some stuff to talk about, so we'll get into that after the break. All right, everybody, welcome back to Heat Check Radio.
Okay,
I want to get to spring break, guys.
Yeah.
We got 30 more minutes. 30 more minutes of action here.
Dude, these last, like... 4 or 5 days, really this week, has brutal. Just been an absolute struggle to get in.
Oh, man.
Hey, there's Gage.
I had so much work that I actually had to create a list, which is something I don't do very often.
You're not a list person.
No, absolutely not. So I had to create a list of all the work that I had to do. So I am thoroughly finished with this week.
I think I've taken more naps this week than I have in my entire life.
Oh, dude, I haven't taken any naps, and that's a problem.
But I just like have been exhausted with... How things are going to happen.
Is it Gage Jellybean?
What's up?
It's Gage Jellybean.
Hey, man.
What is doing?
Would you like to talk on air? Say anything?
No.
I have no idea what to say.
No. For those listening, we have Gage Jellybean in the studio right now. He's maybe the best basketball player in the country.
Absolutely. Maybe.
Possibly.
We're thinking even better than Doncic.
Yeah.
Which is not even in the country. No. We're talking the world.
You guys heard how highly I was speaking of Doncic, so...
Star of our IM team that went 0-4.
Definitely.
0-4. The process.
Trust the process.
Everyone. Hey, you know, even the Sixers weren't good in those first couple of years, but we have a good draft pick coming in. We have some. We're going to make some off-season plays, and things are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but on the real, we have our club basketball team at UCCS going to Nebraska this weekend and playing in a tournament.
Uh-huh.
So good luck to them. Gage is on that team, and hopefully they put in some good work.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah, good seeing you, man.
Sounds
nice.
Yeah.
Just thought it was appropriate. Some.
Good guy, Gage. You ever met him?
I have met him.
You ever met him?
Not quite.
Yeah.
Just a fan.
That will happen. Just a loyal fan. I go to noon ball every day and watch him. He's pretty good.
Anyways, back to the show. We got some NFL news coming up.
The big transition to
Saquon Barkley.
Maybe not. We don't know.
Oh, my Atlanta.
I heard reports, and I really am not a fan of them, that after Sam Darnold's pro day, people were saying that he would be the Browns' number one overall pick, and I'm not a fan of that. And I'm not.
I saw a stat. okay. I saw a stat, okay. That that quarterbacks taken like with picks 1 through 5 play something like 75% longer than quarterbacks taken after pick 5. So like, which is a pretty reasonable stat for this.
What if it's like, what if it's aggregated based on the pick and not the skill set? So then just because that player was picked 1 through 5 means they'll play longer.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is the...
Yeah, but it's not
I mean, it's an objective stat.
What if it's not based on skill set, though? Like,
well, it's not based on skill set. The stat has no idea who was taken.
Oh, okay.
It's just, like, quarterbacks, like, from, I don't know, 75 till 2017, with picks 1 through 5, have played, like, 75% more games than those who have not.
Is that just a testament to good scouting when you take a quarterback high, or...
I mean...
Does the idea of a quarterback taken high become more appealing to teams looking for a quarterback?
I mean, let's think of quarterbacks taken 1 through 5 that have struggled. Immediately, Jamarcus Russell comes to mind.
Ryan Leaf?
He didn't play that long.
No.
They didn't give him that much time.
No.
Ryan Leaf didn't play that long. I don't remember.
But, I mean,
if you realistically think about all the quarterbacks taken after pick 5 who have played a ton of games, obviously Tom Brady comes to mind.
Definitely.
After pick 5?
Which is an outlier for that stat, because, like, he's picking the 6th round. Like, like that's hard to... that's hard to... Quarterbacks taken...
Antoine Randall-L?
He was taken as a wide receiver.
I'm just going to look up Jacob number 1.
Over. I believe.
I don't believe.
You don't believe?
No.
Okay, we're going to look this up.
No, I don't want that. Andrew Luck was taken number 1 overall.
Performed well.
He's trying to perform well. Eli Manning was taken number 1 overall. Cam Newton was taken number 1 overall. Alex Smith was taken number 1 overall. Jameis Winston, Goff, Bradford, Stafford, Manning, Palmer, David Carr, another outlier. Mike Vick, even though he had some issues, he was definitely like one of the greatest NFL players of all time. Hot take.
I see your point.
Peyton Manning, Tim Couch. Let's see. Drew Bledsoe, Troy Aikman, Jeff George, Vinny Testaverde, who played for like 13 different teams in the NFL. John Elway. As much as we flame him on show all the time, he did win 2 Super Bowls and played a lot.
He was drafted as a wide receiver. Sorry.
Get into the Randall L.
I disagree.
What? I mean, I have...
Respectfully.
I don't care if it was respectfully.
Well, that's not very respectful.
That's correct.
That's okay.
So anyway, my point is... Quarterbacks taken early tend to succeed.
Yes, and my point is some wide receivers who are quarterbacks are still quarterbacks. At Lamar Jackson.
We had 2 totally separate conversations happening on air. Right?
Yeah, we did. What's in other news?
Different question. Could Cordell Stewart have played?
Who's that picture of?
LeBron James.
Oh my
goodness.
Is that DeMar DeRozan?
Is that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry? Is he blocking them?
Moving on, Cordell Stewart.
So could
slash.
So could Cordell Stewart have played receiver in the NFL?
Definitely.
Okay.
Why?
Could Johnny Manziel play receiver in the NFL?
No.
No. Okay,
here you go. Can Baker Mayfield play receiver in the NFL?
No.
I don't know.
On the topic of Cordell Stewart playing another position, like, what couldn't he have played in the NFL?
Linebacker. Argue that one. Defensive tackle.
Offensive line.
He could play skill positions, is what you're trying to say.
I honestly don't even know if he really could play skill positions. I just like Cordell Stewart.
So he could play quarterback, running back, receiver, corner, safety?
Halfback. Fullback. Tailback?
Probably not fullback. I'm going to go out on there. Maybe he could have played edge rusher. Who knows?
Oh, I think that's pushing it.
I would also say it's pushing it because he's no Von Miller. But
strong safety?
No. Maybe free safety. Not big enough to play strong safety. Speaking of that.
Nickelback.
Derwin James, nickelback? Look at this photograph. What's Joey doing in that picture?
This is a...
This is really derailed.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, in other news, the Jets traded up in the draft from six to three. So they now have the third overall pick, and that completely changes up our mock draft.
Did you say they traded up to pick six, and now they have the third overall pick?
No, from six to three.
Okay.
Yeah. So they have the third overall. It's really pretty much we had our mock draft, and then free agency was the craziest it has ever been in recent years.
Everybody pooped on it as soon as we got done with our show.
Yeah. Language.
Can't say poop.
Bro, stop saying it. You know the word you said.
But Josh, I still like Josh Allen
for
the New York Jets.
At three?
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
I don't know. I think it's interesting now because so the Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul and all nine fingers. And
too soon. Too soon.
Dude, it was like 3 years ago.
Eight and a half.
And so now they need an edge rusher, which makes me think Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, if Saquon Barkley's taken.
There's too many, because one, they could also take Rosen, even if Darnold is taken.
Yeah,
and
they
may not even take Barkley. I saw an interesting, there's a bunch of NFL draft experts who are like, I wouldn't even take Barkley in the top 10. And I see their point, because drafting a running back in the top 10 is a super risky move. He's one bad knee injury.
Yeah, people have Barkley fallen much farther than what was previously expected. I think he's a top two pick, and now everyone's
He's that once in a generation talent where you may just want to take the chance on him.
He's someone that could add a fire to your team for 6 years. Why not do
but
it?
So could Sam Darnold.
No, when you say 6 years, it makes him less appealing of a prospect.
Yeah.
Versus
But if you're a
because no Sean Moreno was good for
six
years.
Maybe 4 years, but yeah, I see your point.
Sixes, yeah. And he's definitely, nobody is considering him for the Hall of Fame by any means.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. R.A.P. No Sean. You're still alive. Just we miss you. And your Cavs.
And that Broncos team.
Also, those uniforms that they wore when they were there, the yellow and brown ones, I really like those a lot. I feel like they're underrated. Brown and yellow is an underrated color scheme in uniforms.
It's also an underrated color scheme? Black and yellow.
Not underrated. Plenty of people have it. Every team in Pittsburgh has it.
That's right.
The only sports city with the same colors for all four sports teams.
That's a neat fact.
Fun facts with Jacob.
Advanced stats.
Anyway, so you're not looking to draft a player for 4 years. That's not...
No, I understand.
Most of them are going to do. But
You really don't know how long a running back's going to last. It really depends
and
on...
that's the issue.
No, I know.
But you know how long a quarterback's going to last.
No, you don't.
Unless he's bad.
I think
risk you're playing on any pick.
Well, yeah, so then why not take that risk on someone who's talent?
You're getting six more years out of Darnold than you are
You
Barkley.
Don't know that.
Hopefully.
You don't know if Barkley's going to be
that's
good or not.
That's the point. That's what I'm saying. We don't know. You don't know anything.
You don't know how good either of them is going to be, so you might as well take one you know you're going to get for 10 years as opposed to 4 years.
You might as
like Lamar Jackson.
I think you might as well as take, if you don't know how long either player is going to last, you might as well as take... you might as well take a guaranteed talent.
Darnold's a guaranteed talent.
I don't agree.
You don't even. Barkley's not a guaranteed talent.
Lamar Jackson is a guaranteed talent.
But it's interesting about it. I'm gonna veer off into this, Lamar. I'm gonna take the bait here. And Lamar Jackson's kind of an interesting mix between Saquon and Darnold. Meet in the middle. You get Lamar Jackson. Obviously with less quarterback play than Darnold and less running talent than Barkley, but you get a little of both.
See, he's the great middle ground.
Which is why he should be taken number one overall by the Cleveland Browns.
I'd be happier with that pick over any.
That'd be dude, can you imagine?
It'd be the most Cleveland thing
to do. Oh, my God, dude. The media would have an absolute heyday with that.
Aren't we the media?
We are.
Yeah, we're having a heyday with it right now. Can you imagine how ESPN would, they'd lose their mind.
Oh, yeah.
They lose their mind when Curry hits a three.
NFL draft is just...
Every time we say something about it.
Yeah, we can't... We got to stop talking about it because things just change constantly. Because, like, I don't know what happened in, like, the NFL, but, like, everyone's just like, I want to go somewhere new. I don't like being here.
The only thing constant is change. It's
change.
That's fair.
But, deep talks. I it's interesting. I mean, now that Bradley Chubb is now in play for two, I mean, as the Giants, if you're in the Giants war room, I mean, you're going to get four incredible players at number two overall. You're going to get three quarterbacks, Quentin Nelson and Saquon Barkley. Or four quarterbacks, Quentin Nelson and no Saquon Barkley.
It would be fun to see the Browns try and get, like, four or five first-round draft picks and just...
draft the entire first round.
Yeah.
They should trade all their late-round draft picks to get picks 1 through 5.
I've seen plenty of mock drafts that have the Browns trading back into the first round later on at, like, 25, 26. So that's not out of the picture for them getting three picks. But
can you imagine that? That team's going to be so fun regardless of who they take next year.
Yeah, I mean, well, they had three first-round picks last year. They did the same thing pretty much. Wait, was it three? I think it was. Well, they took
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett, Jabril Peppers, and David Njoku.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, in hindsight, I know I'm not a Michigan fan, but the Jabril Peppers pick, come on.
It was debatable.
Come on now.
I mean, yeah, he just...
I know I'm a little biased.
He played last year.
He was no Julius Peppers.
He was definitely not
Julius Peppers.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
You see, did Peppers sign Julius Peppers?
He signed
for back for the Panthers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he started? He's coming home.
Mama, coming home.
The return.
Coming home.
James,
tell the world.
James, this
I'm
isn't
coming home.
This isn't what our viewers signed up for.
Didn't sign up for anything. I was the one who signed up for this.
You didn't sign up. I emailed Maddie.
I signed up for it. I did something, I think.
You contribute.
Absolutely.
You deserve as much credit as... anyway.
I mean, if the Giants do take Chubb at two, which is a kind of a reasonable pick...
Bradley Chubb may be top five in the draft. Like objectively speaking, not like where he's going to get picked, but like top five best players in the draft.
I mean, if you're... We talked about the safest pick in the draft, right? And you talked about, like, it being Quentin Nelson. There's a debate that Bradley Chubb is, like, one of the safest picks.
Dude, I would say that. Him and Nelson are easily the two safest.
If the Giants aren't really high on any of the quarterbacks, they still think they can get someone better in a different draft, in a different round or something like that.
And if they have confidence. Well, because remember last week we talked about how they have confidence in Davis Webb.
Yeah, which is weird.
Which I'm not, about that. But but I mean, if you don't have bad options because you're taking Chubb or Nelson at two, then, or Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, then if they take Chubb at two, then I would assume the Colts would probably take Nelson at three. I would feel like
the Colts will take DB, so probably Ward, which will screw up the Bucks draft.
That
now.
Would the mean? Yeah,
because that's where the Bucks would have to take
Minka Fitzpatrick probably. Actually,
well, Minka would probably get taken. Earlier than that, right?
At three?
Four.
The Jets Browns. Three.
Four by the Browns. He would get taken. So he could not.
Oh, okay. Well, what are you... You can't say quiet when I heard it.
So in this scenario, we have, let's say, Darnold 1.
Well, okay. I think if in this situation...
Okay. Where this is a hypothetical.
Okay.
Chubb two. I think they're high in Allen, right?
Who?
The Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen three, the Jets. Fitzpatrick four, the Browns. Baker Mayfield five to the Broncos. And six to the Colts is probably Denzel Ward. And then who knows after that?
Rosen?
Because, I mean, now we're at the Bucs at seven. And
they're absolutely not going to take a quarterback.
They don't need a quarterback, and they were going to take Denzel Ward. So Josh Jackson, they even take corner at that point? Because I'm sure they want Ward.
They definitely don't need, I mean, maybe offensive line.
Nelson then?
Yeah.
Bears don't need receiver anymore, so.
Nope, Allen Robinson.
I hear Allen Hurns may go there as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Another
Jaguar, he did get cut, if you didn't know.
That Jaguars Allen duo back again. That was cool. That was a cool year we had with them for
that
a while.
Was fun. I was a big fan of them in fantasy. In no other way was I a fan of the Jags.
Speaking of the Bucks.
This
is going to be a good transition. I like this. This is a good segue.
Vinny Curry. JPP.
No.
No.
Giannis.
Yes.
Yes.
Since the return of Jabari Parker, the Bucks have struggled, albeit they have been underperforming for most of the season on an incredibly talented team. Any thoughts?
They need Brandon Jennings back.
Brandon Jennings. You know, he was never the same after that Achilles injury.
No, most people aren't.
But
it's a tough injury.
I know.
That
I keep bringing
Achilles
up the
killer.
James, this is serious, please.
I know I keep bringing up the Bucks, but they really are a fascinating team just because they put together a bunch of guys who are above average height for their position. And then they have Giannis, who was decreed a point guard by Jason Kidd at the beginning of the season, and he said he should be recognized just so much in the vein of a Magic Johnson. So you have this team that's basically built on positionless basketball that's flying towards the future, and for some reason they take one of the highest percentages of mid-range shots in the league. They have Chris Middleton. Did you know Chris Middleton is like a top 10 three-point shooter in the NBA, but okay, he takes more mid-range shots than the three-pointers?
Dude, that's how I feel. That's my game.
But just a perpetually confusing team to me.
I mean, and they had the whole Jason Kidd thing at the beginning of the season. That kind of probably took him off kilter for a while at the beginning of the season.
Definitely.
And then they've just, like, struggled to find a rhythm afterwards. And, I mean, you say this whole thing about positionless basketball, which they're trying something different, which is cool. But, I mean, success is usually built off of a foundation, and they just don't have any foundation because they just don't understand like what their role is in their team. And I mean, it probably starts from the top with Giannis because like he feels like he probably has to do everything,
and he does.
Yeah.
What do you think they can do to improve their situation?
Start playing a style of basketball that makes sense.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Jason Kidd, but he had them taking almost all of their shots at the rim, and he didn't have them shooting very many threes and virtually no mid-range, which is almost a microcosm of who Giannis is as a player, right? So as many faults as Jason Kidd had on the defensive side of the ball, he really knew where to go offensively. I watch the Bucks now and they run empty sets that, as Jacob said earlier, they take the bait on mid-range shots that the defense wants them to shoot. They're just frustrating, and almost as frustrating as the Denver Nuggets have been the past few weeks.
Man, and the Nuggets have the same situation going. The bunch of young talent that you see the potential there, and then it's not panning out, and that's why you're frustrated with them. And just you watch Jokic play every night, and you're like, wow, like how is this team not much, much better?
And
albeit the West is tough.
The West is brutal, but we have a system that. Well, we don't have a system that caters to Jokic's skill set. I think you've seen it, Jacob. The offense with Millsap coming back has just looked rusty and uncomfortable to watch. And
they're
trying
to force Millsap in there as if like he needs to be a potent offensive scorer.
He's not.
And that's not really his game.
I would.
We have scorers.
I would almost use Millsap exclusively as a screener in this Nuggets offense.
He's a big body that can play well off the pick and roll. And then, I mean, Jokic will do Jokic. He'll put up a triple-double every night. And
if you let him, just give him the ball and let players react to him. You know, I think that's the way it has to be.
And because we were almost playing better when Millsap, we were playing better when Millsap was hurt. And that's not even Millsap's fault.
Mm-mm.
Like, and it's just kind of a weird trying to figure out what's going on thing.
We're having a crisis of identity right now in Denver.
We just don't really know what's happening. We need to do our heat check segment, eh?
Yeah, we do, actually.
It's 10:56. Oh, boy. Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go around.
Mine's an update on my heat check from last week about Johnny Manziel. If you didn't know, he was at University of San Diego's Pro Day.
Which I hear was going to be pretty big, even if Johnny wasn't there. So
yeah, absolutely. There was going to be every single NFL team.
Same day as the USC one, I believe.
And at SDSU, I believe. So yeah, I mean, there were 12 teams there, including the Browns. And that just kind of adds to my heat check from last week of Johnny Manziel possibly being back in the league in the next few years. And, I mean, we don't really know how they felt he did at the pro day. I haven't seen any reports.
You look good.
I mean, I thought it looked good, but I don't know how GMs felt or scouts felt about him. So
he threw the ball well. His dropbacks look good. He looked like physically, good.
Yeah, he definitely is
like
Tiger shape
these days.
Yep,
tied for fifth as well. By the way, can't get away from that. Anyway, so that's
my heat check for this week. It was really a slow news week. I didn't really have much to say. What do you got?
I have two heat checks, but like it's about the same topic. Okay. They're both about Richard Sherman.
Mm.
And he had an article on the Players Tribune. Well, he has many, many articles on the Players Tribune, but he had one about his situation, like how he left Seattle. Super interesting. And he was talking about how he structured his contract. So, like, he bet on himself. I think we were talking about this. He bet on himself in his contract. So he doesn't get a ton of guaranteed money. He gets, like a pretty nice signing bonus. But he also... he only earns like a big amount, and like the contract is like 3 years, $27 million. But he only gets that $27 million if he plays really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to. So my hot take is that Richard Sherman is going to be All Pro this season.
All Pro. Okay.
And then, in addition to that, I think in 10 years, I think we look back and we say that Richard Sherman is probably one of the top 10 most influential athletes of all time.
I'd like that.
I can agree with that.
He has.
He's very, given a very
voice.
Intelligent.
He's given like a voice. He has this weird like sort of angle on things because he's like kind of this like he has the same attitude as most like black athletes with where they like were like what is the discriminate against? God, I cannot think of that word. Like where he was discriminated against, but he also went to Stanford. So like, and he had like a sick GPA, like 3.9 or something
like that. He's incredibly
so smart. He's like very well put together, and he's very articulate, and he's like given a voice to the players.
Yeah.
And like just how, and I mean it all started with him yelling at Michael Crabtree and scaring the crap out of Aaron Andrews, but
I mean I'd love to see him take more stances on things because he's very knowledgeable.
He's very intelligent, and he's easily one of the like most outspoken athletes, but the thing is like we've had outspoken athletes before, but the difference is that Richard's like able to communicate effectively and has intelligent opinions and backs his opinions up with like solid arguments. So
yeah,
and he does a ton of stuff with like the NFLPA. So he's been a player's advocate for the 8 years. He's
really
been a
great guy. Yeah, you got one, Skyler? You got a heat check for us?
I do. The one and done rule that is in the NBA CBA right now is going to die this summer. High school players will be able to come into the NBA, following this year of college basketball.
Wait, okay, I thought you were going to say it was going to be longer. I thought you were going to say they had to be in college for like three years. Okay, so you think that you're going to go back to old style. So someone like
J.R. Smith
Williamson would go straight from high school to it. Obviously, I know he's going to college, but yes. Okay, wow. That was not what I was expecting when you said the one and done. We talked about the one and done rule.
I mean, we discussed this. Well, we haven't discussed this exactly, but we've discussed the one and done rule.
Yeah, before. And I think the NBA is looking at the NCAA and everything they've done right now, and they're going to take away the opportunity. You know, They had their chance, they had their ability to partner, and they haven't effectively guided high schoolers.
Man, the NCAA has really... That's another topic.
We need to sign off here.
They dropped the ball.
I have three things I want to say before we leave. First off, you can follow us on Instagram at @HeatCheckRadio_UCCS or on Twitter at @HeatCheckRadio. Second off, we will not be here next week. We were taking a week off. We got spring break coming up, so we'll be gone for a week.
Spring break.
Third,
I'm definitely going to just sit at home and do nothing.
Absolutely.
Except do some scouting reports.
Do some scouting.
Or at least some legal inquiry.
And the final thing is that, we are now on iTunes and Spotify.
Big news. Woo!
Yep. And so you can find us, just T-Check Radio, search it up, you can find us.
Nice big purple and black logo.
Yep. And we'd also like to give a thank you to everyone who has supported us so far. I mean, frankly, it's not too hard to get onto iTunes and Spotify. Really, if you just
it was more of a technical issue, as opposed to.
But I mean, we're getting people to listen. If you really are enjoying the show, we thank you for listening each week.
We're doing some really cool content. We have fun stuff planned. We thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this radio station is really gonna start rising, and like J. Cole once said, "Promise to my mama, I'ma make it to the top." So I'm going to keep climbing till my heartbeat drop.
And with that, we bid you adieu.